This is Home Improvement USA, the program where the industry experts give the best information on home improvement products and services. Join us now as we begin this hour of Home Improvement USA.
And welcome, everybody, to Home Improvement USA. Glad to have you with us. I'm Dave Rush, along with Steve Leventhal. Steve, welcome to the show today,
Home Improvement USA. How are you? How you doing? Is this a great day for Home Improvement Project?
Always. Every day. Today, you know, we're going to start off with basement mold. How to keep the mold out of the basement. And from WikiHow, a few quick tips in this segment of how to keep your basement mold-free. Ventilate your basement. You know, flowing air, keep the doors open, the windows open when you can. Oscillating fans, they say that's a good idea. Another one, remove soft, wet items from your basement immediately.
What's a soft, wet item?
Old mattresses, rags that you've used, soggy cardboard.
I guess.
Keep that stuff out, is what they say here. Another tip here from WikiHow.
Well, you know what a good tip is? When in doubt, throw it out.
That's true. That's good for everything. Insulate your basement pipes or windows to prevent condensation in cold outdoor temperatures. That's a good one there. Run a dehumidifier in your basement. We do that. It works very well. And we do have cardboard and the such in the basement. And I always, you know, knock the cardboard. Is it moist? You know, but it's not. And the dehumidifier works very well. Verify that rainwater is directed away from your home and basement. That means keep the downspouts out and away so that the water does not get to the foundation of your house.
You know what another good one is? Clean out the window wells because they have like a lot of leaves and debris. So that also can collect water.
It does. That's true. That's not even on the list yet, Steve. So that's good. You may be ahead. Check to see that your outside grounds slope away from your home. That's a good one. Remove plants from your wet basement. That's not where they should be. And vacuum all the surfaces in your basement using a vacuum with a high-efficiency particulate air filter. HEPA, HEPA filter. You've heard of them. So there are some tips keeping the mold out of the basement. We got a lot more coming back here on Home Improvement USA. Stay with us on the program.
An important floor you may not always think about is the one for your car. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about sealing your garage floor so it always looks good right after this. What's the first step of any building or repair project? I always make sure I have the tools and materials I need, starting with the QuickCrete mobile app. With easy one-touch access, you can watch project video instructions, quickly pull up a material shopping list, and make sure you have what you need, or use the app to figure out how much you need and find out where to buy it. You can even share your finished project via the Quick Share function. It's the tool you can use from start to finish. Download the QuickCrete mobile app on the App Store or Google Play today. One of the best ways to seal a concrete garage floor is with the two-part epoxy systems you'll find at your local home center. Start by cleaning up any of the oil spots and then use an acidic cleaner to scrub the whole floor before rinsing it with clean water. After it dries for a day or two, you're ready for the sealer. Unlike paint or stain, epoxy sealers are mixed immediately before use and you only have a limited amount of time to work with them. Once you mix it, you have to be ready to start rolling and brushing it on because the clock is ticking. Work small areas and keep a wet edge like you would with any other paint. If you're adding the decorative paint chips that come with some of these kits, you'll need to do that while the surface is still wet. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
The Home Improvement Information Source, Home Improvement USA. Check us out at homeimprovementusa.com and homeimprovementusa.net. Now, from a company called Ames Research, we're going to talk about waterproofing the basement. That's a big problem. You get mold down there, that's big trouble. So to talk about that, from Ames Research, he is Dr. William Ames. Dr. Ames, welcome to the program.
I'm glad to be here.
All right. Good to have you. And before we start, tell us a little bit about Ames Research at amesresearch.com. There are a variety of products, but tell us about Ames and what you do.
Well, we try to manufacture the highest quality as possible. As I mentioned in the past, my ancestor a long time ago, Ames Shovels, said, when we make a tool, let's make it the best we can. And so Ames here at Ames Research, there's a lot of people make a lot of different types of coatings out there. But most everybody cuts to make the highest profit possible by making the cheapest they can. And so we try to make it the highest possible elasticities, the most impervious product for waterproofing, or the most reflective product if we're doing a roof or painting a wall, to go over just about anything, grease, wax, or, you know. So we try to make it perfect. I heard Trump say that. I like, when I get on my airplane, I want a perfect airplane.
All right. Well, a Donald Trump reference this early in the program. All right. Now, Dr. Ames, and I know you're big in the Republican Party, too, out there in Oregon. So
yeah.
I know you enjoy that. That's good. Let's talk about basements and waterproofing basements. Okay.
Right.
If a person has a moldy, dingy basement, what would you say to them?
Well, you got a lot of moisture coming in the building, obviously, and I think people need to think that, you know, when you sort of came into the concrete age, you know, first it was the mud huts, and then when you came into the concrete, learned we're going to make concrete out of sand and concrete, we have to keep in mind that most everything around us in life is a lot of sedimentary, so concrete is a sedimentary rock, geologically. It comes from clamshell or calcium carbonate, CaCO3. So anyway, what it does after CaCO3, calcium and CO2, CO3, basically it dissolves as time goes on and it becomes chalky. And so as concrete dissolves, the surface of the concrete harder to stick to. So when we make a product, we want it to stick to the wall, but we also want to make it so nothing goes through it. There are companies out there that sell product that it doesn't stick very good to the wall, and then the wall is still moist after they put their product on. We don't want anything coming through the wall whatsoever. And if a wall is dissolving, we want to basically glue it together, as you might say. So you add quality to the surface of the concrete. So in the basement, people have joints, okay? And on the floor, for instance, you pour a slab, and there's a space between the joint, between the floor it was poured separately than the wall. And then sometimes there's a lot of cracks on the wall. So there's a lot of things to waterproof on a basement wall. And with the flooding we've had across our country, especially in the east, we have a lot of work to do, don't we?
Okay, Dr. Ames, now, how old are usually walls that need a product like that? Are they 20 years old, 25? Tell us.
Well, I mean, are you asking how old can the surface be of the wall? Is that correct?
Yeah, uh-huh. I mean, yeah, a new house wouldn't need that right away, but something older, I would think, would. And
well,
I'm just wondering what the age range is.
Okay, in Massachusetts, the Ames family, our family, my family, has many mansions. And the old basements, when I go down and take a look at them, are actually rock and mortar. And so that's pretty old. You know, we're getting back 150 years, 120 years or something like that, but in a long, long time ago. And so we can go back to that. I mean, you can waterproof virtually anything. I had a gentleman who just got off the phone with me, and we're building a building, and he has containers, you know, ship containers. And he says, I have to have a water supply, and I want to coat the inside of my ship container. Those are great big, you know, 20-foot containers by 8 feet tall by, you know, 8 feet wide, roughly. And so he wants to put his water supply, so he wants to know how to do actually waterproof steel. And he asked me, can we use that? And he said, well, it's pretty experimental, but yeah, I don't see any problem with that. He wants to build a big water tank to store his water in, so he has it for his sprinkler system out in the farm. So anyway, so you can build water tanks using concrete block and Blue Max or block and wall rubber, at least those two products, and maybe even block and wall acrylic products that we make.
All right, so, Dr. Ames, now, when you say, okay, you know, it can do a wall 100-some years old, but in a basement, after like 20, 25 years, is that when somebody might look at a product like this?
Yeah, you could. Well, you can. Depends. The new modern basements today usually don't have so many problems. But the older basements where they crack and move around and the earth shifts, where you have cracks, I have people call me up saying, I got water shooting up through the floor. Can your product work on that? And, you know, I said, yeah, with summertime, of course, you can waterproof it. And so, yeah, we're doing floors and then putting our paint on top of our urethane paint on top of the floor. But they're looking to waterproof their basements. And basically, if the basement didn't have a structure on top of it, our product is so waterproof that if the floor, the whole basement could float, theoretically. You know, so like a ship, like a boat. And so, you know, if you it's good to waterproof outside as well as inside, but in most of the cases, people can't get to the outside below ground unless they dig it out. So they have to do it from the inside. And then we're dealing with pressures, and usually pressures are not significant enough to damage or overcome our product capability.
Dr. William Ames is with us from Ames Research, and that website is amesresearch.com. We're talking about coatings for the basement. So tell us the specific products that your company has for waterproofing basements and keeping the water out. What are the specific products?
Well, basically those products are block and wall rubber and Blue Max and block and wall acrylic. And a lot of people use shipping containers for, in this day and age, everywhere from bomb shelters to storing things underground, or just storing things, and they want to waterproof these containers. So whether it's metal or steel or whether it's concrete wall with a water tank they want to build, the product is powerful enough to take care of most of the problems that people, DIY problems that people want to deal with as far as keeping water out or keeping, you know, water in.
So you talk about Blue Max. Tell us what Blue Max is and what it does.
Well, Blue Max is a very sophisticated rubber technology that stretches about 1,200%, and so it has a lot of elasticity, and it's impervious. So, you know, if you build enough, say, the thickness of a dime to a thickness of a quarter, you can do some miraculous things with reference to keeping water and repairing existing walls and on the homes or basements or even in the future possibly even some construction with it, because it's a very strong material.
All right, Dr. Ames, now, what are the other products for the basement, and how do they differ from Blue Max?
Well, block and wall acrylic, for instance, is a basement product, and it's tintable, and is also an elastomeric product, and it keeps its color a lot nicer than most other products does, so you can use it outside or inside the basement wall.
All right, Dr. William Ames with us. AmesResearch.com is the website. They make products for decks, they make products for roofs, they make products for basements, and today we're talking basements. What happens if you let a basement problem go? I mean, a lot of people say, well, it's just the basement, who cares?
Well, what happens is the water gets in and it starts dissolving the concrete very slowly. What happens if you get water in a cave? You form stalactites, you know. And I've been in structures over in Hawaii many years ago. When I travel to Hawaii, you go down in the parking structures and you'll see that concrete is actually forming stalactites under the structure, because there's so much rain coming out. The water in the mortar, or the concrete, I should say, actually goes into the solution. And so it becomes a kind of a limestone stalactite, which is amazing because they say stalactites take thousands of years to form. But here you have the beginnings of them in a parking structure. So anyway, one of my past histories was graduate geology, and I've always found it fascinating with that. So anyway, basements, you just want to kind of put them back to where they were. Making them a lot more waterproof, glue things back together, make sure the water's not coming in, that they're impervious, and then restore the concrete. Wherever it is, it's a basement, outside or inside wall, or whether it's above grade wall as well, like on a block wall outside your building. They need to be waterproof too. A lot of problems in reference to people with the mortars on the outside of buildings being not waterproof. We get a lot of that.
All right, Dr. William Ames, Ames Research, A-M-E-S Research, is the website. We will do it again a couple weeks down the line. Dr. Ames, thank you very much. Have a great day.
You have a good one, too. Thank you.
All right. And you are listening to Home Improvement USA. Painting just got easier with Handy Paint products. Hey, kick the bucket. Paint like a professional with fewer spills and faster cleanups with the Handy Paint Pail and Paint Cup. Easy come, easy roll. The Handy Paint Tray, Roller Cup, and Roller Pail are perfect for all projects big and small. And if you're climbing the ladder, use the multi-use Handy Ladder Pail for all your projects. The safe way to transport paint and tools on a ladder. Painting just got easier with Handy Paint Pail products.
That floral wallpaper your grandmother picked out 50 years ago just isn't working for you anymore. I'm Danny Lipper with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned, we'll talk about an option for ugly wallpaper right after this.
Mold on your siding, moss on your roof, mildew on your deck. The easiest way to get rid of it all is with Wet and Forget Outdoor. There's no scrubbing, no rinsing, and no pressure washing. Just spray and leave. Wet and Forget Outdoor is bleach-free and safe for virtually any outdoor surface. Siding, roofing, concrete, stone, stucco, even fabric. Just spray and you're done with Wet and Forget Outdoor. Get Wet and Forget Outdoor at the Home Depot or visit wetandforget.com for a store near you.
I always recommend removing wallpaper whenever possible, but sometimes it just isn't feasible, whether it's constraints in time, budget, or both. Wallpaper can be painted over successfully, but there are a few things you need to do to make sure your paint job doesn't come crashing down around you. First, glue any loose pieces and seams. You don't want any of that excess moisture creeping behind the paper. Next, use a small putty knife to apply drywall joint compound over all of the seams. After it dries, use a damp sponge to remove any excess compound from the wall. Finally, remember that it's the moisture in latex paint that can loosen wallpaper glue, so use an oil-based primer followed by two coats of latex. Follow these few simple steps and you'll enjoy a freshly painted room for years to come. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
This is Home Improvement USA. I'm Dave Rush, along with Steve Leventhal here on the program. Glad to be with you. Been doing this since 1994. And right now, from a company called Excluder, we bring in their VP of Sales, Dave Colbert. Dave, how are you today?
Doing great, Dave. How about yourself?
All right, doing fine. You are right down the road from Steve's studios in Lake Bluff, Illinois. So you guys are in the same proximity because you're in Buffalo Grove, right?
Yes, that's correct. And we manufacture our products actually on downtown Chicago, 31st in California.
All right, very good. So for people who may not know what Excluder is, and that's the letter X and then C-L-U-D-E-R, Excluder, tell us about it. Then we'll get into rodent control because that's what we're going to talk about in this segment.
Sure. So Excluder is a product that's made from stainless steel fibers and poly fibers and is combined into a matrix and used to fill holes, cracks, and crevices in various buildings to keep rodents out. Rodents are this time of year, which is a good time to be talking, this is when they're looking to get indoors a bit. In preparation for the winter.
All right, yeah. So when the weather gets cold, aren't September, October, into November, aren't those the months where you find more of them coming in the house?
Yes. just a little bit, Dave. I'll take us into rodents for a moment if I can digress. So there's three main kinds of rodents here in the States that impact homeowners, apartment dwellers, barns, mobile homes, everywhere, whether it's urban, suburban, or rural. And they are the Norway rat, the house mouse, and what are called roof rats. And just to give the audience a little bit of information, a house mouse can squeeze through a hole that's about a quarter inch, whereas a rat can squeeze in through a half inch. So any kind of opening or gap that you have in your dwelling that's bigger than those sizes leaves the opportunity for a rodent to come in. They're experts at climbing, jumping, they burrow, and of course, most of all, they're known for their gnawing. So they chew through a wide variety of substrates such as screens, caulk, fiberglass, rubber. They love to live and chew through insulation, even known to get through vinyl, some low-grade concrete and cinder blocks.
Okay. And you work with a company that makes a product that makes it harder for them to get in the building. And most people treat this once they're in the building. So let's talk about both of those things. First off, what you do, and then how yours can be part of an overall solution.
Okay. So what we do is we manufacture a material that we started out with that was primarily designed to fill holes. And it's permanent in that it is made of stainless and a poly, so it's economical, but it also is permanent and locks in. What we do specifically is we supply to various pest control, or what they call pest management professionals, PMPs. And we've extended the line from just filling holes to sealing entryways. One of the many ways they get in is through under doors. So garage doors, what we call man doors, usually has some type of a rubber or brush seal on the bottom for the purpose of HVAC. And we've developed a pretty good line of products that now go on the bottom of doors and prevent rodents from chewing through thin rubber and getting into a specific dwelling.
Okay, Dave Colbert with us from Excluder, and you can check him out online at buyxcluder, buyexcluder.com. Steve.
Well, Dave, I wanted to ask you if there's any type of building material or dwelling that might be more susceptible than others to the rat and rodent infestation?
You know, it's an interesting question. Obviously, it's a good question. In the city, let's take New York. Sorry to bash New York here, but New York has a pretty much known rodent issue, as do most major metropolitan cities. That's primarily Norway rats and mice, but suburbia can have a serious problem with mice. And all it takes is two to get into your home or dwelling. Obviously, their reproduction rates are very high in a six-month period. And so they can create a whole lot of damage on any kind of building, and whether so you can have a house in suburbia or a house out in the country, and it can be attacked by, or infested is a better word, pretty quickly if people don't keep an eye out and manage things.
All right, Dave. And you know, you talk about these roof rats. Where do you see a lot of roof rats? I've heard a lot of that in Arizona.
Yeah, well, that's there's regions. I don't think you have Norway rats in California, and I should retract that. I probably do. But roof rats are mostly, like you say, places like Texas, Arizona, California out west. I don't think we have roof rats here in Illinois, as an example, and back east. So it's primarily a western creature, if you will. Norway rats are pretty much get all over the place via boats, railroad trains, you know, freight trains, trucks. And then the house mouse are pretty common throughout the country.
Okay, Dave. Now, your product, Excluder, if somebody gets a package, an Excluder package, what's in what you sell? Tell us what, I know there's scissors and there's product, and then where do you put it around the house?
So what we sell on the buyexcluder.com is a number of products, but the base product is what we call Excluder Fill Fabric, which you can get a 5 foot by 4 inch wide roll that's with a pair of scissors and a pair of gloves. And pretty much what one should go do is survey the various entry points of their building. So places to look, and with that, you know, you need things like a flashlight, some other things where you're a cheap pen where you can poke a hole. If the hole's bigger than half an inch, then you have the potential. So from there, if you identify a hole, a crack, or crevice, which can be around pipes, can be in the foundation, can even be up in roof lines and roof soffits. You know, so some of the entry points are basement windows, under entryway doors, HVAC pipes, any kind of cracks or foundation, power lines, and roof joints. You should inspect those. If there's gaps, then you can take our material, put on the gloves, scissors, cut the material with a screwdriver, with the scissors, and then really just work it in with a screwdriver or a putty knife, depending on the size of the hole. And once you push it in, it pretty much locks in because it kind of springs out. And so rodents can't chew through it, and as long as you pack it in tight, they can't push through it. So that is a permanent solution.
Okay, Dave. And what happens when they're already in the house? What treatments do you like the best there?
Well, the truth be told, if you have just a mouse, and the way you can identify that, of course, is if you see certain things like rub marks, gnawing, obviously, they poop a little bit, a lot, I should say.
Droppings.
And if you see those things, you know you have a problem. Usually where there's one, there's more. And if that's the case, you can put out snap traps on your own. But if the problem persists, you should really call your pest management professional and have them come in and investigate the situation.
Or find a neighbor who's got a good aggressive cat.
Yeah, or a sick Steve's herd of cats that he has in his house. You got four, well, right?
That's correct.
Oh, my God.
Only two
well,
of them.
I might do it, but you'd be amazed. Rodents are known as commensal, meaning they live in close association with other beings. And although the cat is their natural enemy, they sometimes still are smart enough to live in places in your building where the cat has no possibility to get at them. And that's what makes them so clever.
Yeah, well, I saw that on Tom and Jerry, so I know. Jerry was a clever...
There you go.
He was a clever mouse. Well, Dave, thank you very much for coming on Home Improvement USA. Again, the website, BuyExcluder, B-U-Y, the letter X, C-L-U-D-E-R, BuyExcluder.com. Dave Colbert, VP of Sales, thank you very much for coming on Home Improvement USA.
Thank you very much for having me, Dave. Look forward to talking to you guys again.
All right, very good. And our website, HomeImprovementUSA.com and HomeImprovementUSA.net. It's Home Improvement USA. If you want to stop moisture from coming into your home, think Ames. Apply Ames coatings to waterproof and protect roofs, basement walls, and decks. Ames adhesive high-strength elastomeric liquid rubber coatings are impenetrable. Extreme moisture protection. Look for the Ames Blue Max, Maximum Stretch, and Safety Deck brands at your local hardware store or see amesresearch.com. That's A-M-E-S research.com. Available at Ace, Do It Best, and True Value stores.
Few things will make a concrete driveway or patio look worse than rust stains. I'm Danny Lifter with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about cleaning up that concrete right after this. Old, ugly, or damaged bathtubs and sinks don't have to be ripped out and replaced. Save money and give new life to bathroom fixtures with Homax Tough as Tile Spray-On Epoxy Finish. Preparation is the key, so follow the directions carefully and don't cut any corners. With Homax Tough as Tile, you can refinish your bathtub or sink yourself and get great results without hiring a professional. Homax, creating better homes. If you have unsightly rust stains on your concrete patio, driveway, or sidewalk, you know they're not coming off with soap and water. But don't panic. There is a solution that doesn't call for special cleaning chemicals or tools because it's completely safe and natural. Cleaning masonry surfaces usually calls for an acid cleaner, but those can often be very dangerous products to apply and sometimes difficult to find. However, in this case, the one you need may be right inside your refrigerator, provided you have a couple of lemons in the fruit drawer. Cut the lemons in half and then rub them into the rust stains. As the natural citric acid works on the stain, blot or wipe the areas with a soft towel to remove it. Now when your life gives you lemons, you can clean the patio. I'm Danny Lepfrew with Tips for Today's Homeowner.
Now, back to Home Improvement USA.
Back on the show, Home Improvement USA, your home improvement information source since 1994. I'm Dave Rush along with Steve Leventhal. In studio with us right now, Property Inspector George Rieger from North Branch Property Inspection in Evanston, Illinois. George, welcome to the show today.
Great to be here. Thanks
all
for
right.
having me.
Glad to have you here. And then for those who may not have heard you on the program before, tell us about North Branch and what you do.
The company was started 18 years ago. I have a partner, Mark Ladner. We inspect houses to assess the condition, usually for buyers, but occasionally for other people. People who are maybe doing construction, people are getting ready to sell their house, people who just want to have a couple of issues they want to know about in their house.
All right, very good. So I'm going to start here on this segment with condos, okay? People think about home inspection. They think about just regular standalone homes. But what if you're doing a condo, and what difference is there? What different things maybe do you look for when you're inspecting a condo?
Well, the biggest difference between a condo and a house are what are called common elements, things that are outside of the actual unit. We obviously inspect everything inside the unit, but things that can really affect your living there are things that aren't really in your unit and you're not buying. They're common elements like the roof, like the exterior, like the back porches, maybe a common boiler or air conditioning system. So on, you know, moderate-sized buildings, I will look at, in general, those elements. I will climb on the roof. I will look at the back porches. I will do those things, but not real detail, but just to get them an idea of the major elements that could cost some money. Say I get on the roof, and it's an old roof. They might be looking at $3,000 or $4,000 their share of a new roof.
Okay. So, because you're there with other people, so you're not entirely in control of a lot of these things.
That's
what you're saying. Okay.
Now, are you doing these by yourself, I presume, most of the time?
Usually, I'll do an inspection by myself. Occasionally, if we have a large property, we will do what we call common element assessments of a large, you know, we did a 36-unit apartment building in Hyde Park, condo building, and the association wanted to know, what's the condition of this building? How do we plan our reserves and our expenses? So my partner and I did that one together. That was a very large building, and there we're just doing the common elements and really not going too much into the individual owner's units.
Okay, now is there a price difference when you do a condo from a regular home?
Generally,
maybe
they're
not
less expensive.
They usually, because there's just not as much to do.
Usually condos are smaller than houses, and that's correct. There's not as much to do.
All right. Let's talk about the changes in the industry, okay? You came in from the contractor side, right?
That's right.
Okay. Is it different doing a home inspection now than it was, say, around 20 years ago? And what are some maybe things that you might look for now that you didn't then? Or maybe there aren't.
Well,
I would think the electric, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but I would think that with
You're not sorry.
A lot of people say I am. I would think with the amount of electrical components out there now, that maybe that might be something that has changed since then, but you would know better.
Well, you'll look at older electrical systems a little differently because, you know, there's just so much more demand now. Like I did an inspection the other day where a woman had been in the house 50 years, was moving out. You know, she had a small 100-amp panel with only 8 circuits. Now someone's moving in. I know they're going to come in. They're going to remodel the kitchen. They're going to bring in things that never occurred to this other woman to own. And so that changes the way I look at the electrical system in terms of how adequate is it.
Okay. And starting that long ago, and that's really not that long ago, 20 years. What about the structures themselves? How do you see homes that were built then to now? Are they different structurally?
Well, you know, there's the old comment, boy, they don't build them like they used to. Well, I had an electrician who would say, they don't build them like they used to, thank God. Maybe the finishes aren't as nice as they used to be in terms of trim and, you know, layout and things like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the newer houses, because of codes and sort of better engineering, are really more well built in terms of foundations, structure, electrical, heating, plumbing, all that.
All right, really, but wait, built.
How come you go to Greece, you see these buildings, they were built 2,000 years ago. Granted, they were built out of stone or granite or whatever. And yet I've got parts of my house where the foundation is cracking or the paint, all these things are coming apart. And it's been 10 years or so.
Well, we need to get some of those European craftsmen over here, apparently.
Well, you don't have to answer that, George. Sometimes Steve will throw
that, that was a rhetorical question.
Right, right.
You know.
He'll throw something that'll just throw the whole thing
off. You don't have government money behind building your house like they did back then.
All right, George. Now let's talk a bit about, usually when you bring you in, you have one or two stories. Let's talk about this house that was for sale where somebody was actually murdered there. And will a murder or a terrible crime bring down the price of a home?
Well, this one house I inspected, and that kind of brings up a question of what's my responsibility as a home inspector? You know, I sort of say, you know, I'm there to do something specific and I need to stay on my own square. I don't comment about the neighborhood. You know, I don't get into things, the value of the house. And so I went into this one house and I got there early and the husband of the listing agent was there, and he goes to me, he says, you know, that famous murder, and there was this murder case about 20 years ago in Chicago, that took place in this house. In fact, the woman died, and he points to a spot on the garage floor. I'm going, oh my God, okay. And then I'm thinking, and I'm starting with my inspection before the seller gets there, and the notion that crosses my mind is, is it my responsibility as a home inspector to tell, you know, the buyer about this? You know, I'm there to inspect the property. Do I talk about bad vibes? Do I talk about ghosts, you know?
I actually wanted it at some point to see if you've ever done a haunted house.
Oh, we can get into that. Yeah. But wrap this one up. And then, so you're wondering how to, in a roundabout way, let this person know that somebody was killed.
It might be important to know because they're going to find out. And is this my business? So this buyer walks in, and he's kind of a, you know, a guy in his, you know, mid-30s, and he looks like kind of a hustler. Maybe he's a trader down on the Board of Trade. And he walks in. The first thing out of his mouth is, yeah, this is a house where that lady got killed. Yeah, good for me. You know, the house has sat for years. The price has fallen $100,000. I don't care. I'd save me money.
So you do get a price break if a horrific crime occurred in the home in most cases.
I had heard that there had been contracts that people have backed out of because they just couldn't get over it.
Okay. And we're not fans of horrific.
But I've always heard stories of people who actually want houses where certain things, if you're of that bent.
What is with those people? And haunted houses. Let's touch on that. Have you ever had a haunted house? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know.
Maybe not, but I'm not. Maybe, but I'm not sensitive to those things. So
okay. So you don't know.
Never picked up on that.
You don't have that paranormal.
Do not do paranormal inspections. That's someone else. That's another trade.
That's a TV show, I think.
All right. George Rieger with us from North Branch Property Inspection in Evanston, Illinois. And, you know, we're talking a lot of different things here home inspection-wise, and you've been doing this for 20 years, as we had talked about. What maybe would be the difference in home inspection in an area like this where you're up north? We're coming to you, you know, doing this particular segment from Chicago today. But what if you were down in, say, Southern California or New Mexico, Arizona, one of the southwestern states? Are the home inspections different, and do you maybe look for different things when you're down there?
Well, I never do inspections there, but I have traveled there, and okay. I'm aware of the type of houses I have, and I have relatives who live there. The probably the biggest issue is in those warmer climates is they don't have basements.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you don't have the basements like you
so
do.
So they don't have water issues, and usually they're newer houses. They're post-1950 houses, mm-hmm. so there's different types of construction, hopefully better.
All right.
So it's you know, it's sometimes a little more challenging to go into an older house because there's been so many changes made over the years.
Do when people come into property inspection, do they in most cases come from a contractor background like yourself? Where do most of them cut their teeth?
Usually they do. They come from general contracting or a particular trade. Someone might have been an electrician or heating and air conditioning, something like that. So they've got a background in a basic knowledge of construction. Hopefully,
why'd you move from that to home inspection?
I've been doing contracting for over 20 years, and it's a stressful business in terms of you know, physically stressful, and you know, you're going into people's homes. Although I do build some new homes, and it's very stressful for people to live through construction, and a lot of the contractors, the subcontractors that I employed, are kind of cowboys and hard to deal with, and I wanted to get out of it, and it was sort of a natural evolution to move in to take the skills that I had acquired as a contractor and bring them into home inspection.
All right. Now, give us some contact information for North Branch Property Inspection.
I can be reached by email at george.northbranch@gmail.com or by phone at 847-864-6212.
Okay, George.
What's that
Rieger.
Number again?
847-864-6212.
All right, George Rieger, North Branch Property Inspection, Evanston, Illinois. George, thanks very much for coming in today and sharing some of this with us. Good information, and we hope to see you back here soon.
Great to be here. A lot of fun. Always enjoy it.
All right. George Rieger, we appreciate him coming here on Home Improvement USA. I'm Dave Rush along with Steve Leventhal. And, you know, you might not listen during regular broadcast times. You might be one of those people that's up at 3 a.m. in the morning and is looking for something interesting to do. Well, if there's
and
not
they would come here to listen
not,
to
I was going
to
say, if there's not a lot of good stuff on cable, we welcome you to come to our website, listen to us on demand.
If you've seen that Seinfeld episode three times, we'll give you something different to listen to.
Right. It's 24/7 at homeimprovementusa.fm. HomeImprovementUSA.com, also HomeImprovementUSA.net. You can get us at CRLRadio.com. And if you go up there, you can see where we're on air during regular broadcast times and on the radio, but also on the internet. And, of course, if you put in Home Improvement radio shows into your favorite search engine, we'll come up a few times on the first and second pages. So check it out. Back with more on the show. Stay with us.
Do your concrete surfaces have a green thumb you wish would go away? I'm Danny Lipford with Tips for Today's Homeowner. Stay tuned and I'll give you a couple simple ideas to remove weeds and grass from concrete right after this.
Beautify your outdoor living spaces with Pavestone's elegant collection of pavers, retaining walls, patio stones, and edging. Pavestone's easy do-it-yourself products have a unique way of transforming landscapes into beautiful dreamscapes. Discover how you can enhance your outdoor living spaces with attractive and durable interlocking patio stones, driveway pavers, steps, retaining walls, pathway edging, fire pits, and planters by visiting pavestone.com.
No matter how well-groomed you keep your yard, if weeds or grass are growing in the cracks of your sidewalk or driveway, it takes away from the overall curb appeal of your home. Expensive weed killers will do the trick, but instead of going that route, try something for free. Plain old H2O is a very effective weed killer. That's right, water. All you have to do is put a kettle of water on the stove and bring it to a boil, then pour it on the weeds or grass that you want to kill. Basically, you're cooking the plants right in the spot where it's growing. While this is a great method for killing unwanted plants growing in the driveway or sidewalks, I don't recommend it for flower beds because boiling water will kill any plant it comes into contact with, including underground roots of nearby plants. I'm Danny Lippard with tips for today's homeowner.
If you want to stop moisture from coming into your home, think Ames. Apply Ames coatings to waterproof and protect roofs, basement walls, and decks. Ames adhesive high-strength elastomeric liquid rubber coatings are impenetrable. Extreme moisture protection. Look for the Ames Blue Max, Maximum Stretch, and Safety Deck brands at your local hardware store or see amesresearch.com. That's A-M-E-S research.com. Available at Ace, Do It Best, and True Value stores.
Did you know that the average yearly repair bill for a car 5 years or older is more than $1,200? Having repair coverage for your car just makes sense, but the trick is not to overpay for it. With Toco Warranty, you can get a highly rated vehicle protection plan usually for less than a tank of gas per month. And now, we're offering a zero down payment program. To get a great car vehicle protection plan at a super low price, call Toco Warranty at 1-800-987-3157. That's 1-800-987-3157. Terms and conditions apply.
Now, back to Home Improvement USA.
Okay, we want to thank all of our guests that appeared on the program today. We bring you the best in home improvement information, and all these people certainly contribute, so I want to thank them for coming on the show. And now we're going to talk a bit about mold prevention, and this is important because when it comes to insurance factors or reselling your home or selling your home...
Health reasons.
A lot of health, of course. Mold prevention is important. So, Steve, this is from Green Planet.
PlanetGreen.com, which is a subsidiary of the Discovery Channel and all their televised affiliates.
Very good.
Animal Planet, TLC, all that stuff. My daughter loves watching that channel, TLC. I keep hearing about all these different shows she watches.
Well, I guess that's better than her watching cartoons like you did well into your teens and early 20s. But that's all right.
I'm a big underdog fan. Don't slam that. Scooby-Doo.
I was out and about yesterday at a couple appointments. The strangest thing happened. I saw a droopy dog cartoon with caption at both locations, at a couple different locations. How often do you see the droopy dog cartoon character in two places where you go during the day? But that's besides the point.
If I had the music, I'd play you the Twilight theme zone theme right now.
Let's get to mold prevention.
Okay, and they're citing the EPA for this.
Okay,
so
fine.
It's sort of borrowed. We're borrowing it from somebody who borrowed it from someone else.
Sure.
Keep humidity low. The less humidity in the air, the less moisture. The EPA recommends a humidity level of 30 to 50%.
Yeah, well, if you can achieve that, that's good.
They say give your roof some love. Keep your roof in working order. A leaky roof leads to a moldy house. That makes sense.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's where a lot of it, basements is where you think of it most. But, if you have roof leaks, then up there it can get moldy too. And you're not up there that often.
Or even, let's say there's a back part of the house where it sort of drips in and you don't see it. It's not in the sun so that it doesn't dry out and evaporate. That's actually asking for mold. Clean up spills quickly. If you clean the area within 24 to 48 hours, mold will probably not grow.
Okay.
Air conditioners. Think about that. Keep the air conditioner pans clean if you've got the window air conditioners. And keep the drain lines working correctly.
All right. Makes sense.
Showers. Open the window or run the exhaust fan when showering. Opening the windows is the electricity-free choice.
Yeah. And, I don't think that you're going to see too much mold in the shower simply because that's an area that if you practice clean living, that you
safe showering.
You should always be cleaning your shower every few weeks at least. So you're gonna clean that. You're gonna clean that area up. But you know, many people do think about the bathrooms as an area for mold because it's where warmth and water come in. And so bathrooms, you have to pay attention. But if you clean it regularly, you should be all right.
Vent appliances. Vent appliances that create moisture to the outside whenever possible.
Okay.
Increase ventilation. Open the windows when possible.
Open the windows. Run some fans. That can help in mold prevention. Sure.
Another source it says are cold pipes, and you should cover them with insulation.
All right.
How about increase the air temperature? The EPA says increasing air temperature, but while we're all trying to reduce our home's temperature to save energy, well, what do you do? But if you increase the insulation, maybe that's a better solution. A dehumidifier is another way to go.
We always have a dehumidifier running in our storage area. And, you know, because you've got cardboard boxes in there, you've got old clothes, you know, this is an area where mold could become a problem. These dehumidifiers work well, and we actually have the hose running right from the back of the dehumidifier right to the little drain in the basement. So we're not having to empty the buckets. I mean, you can do it that way, but you can have it to where it's constantly, you know, on and off at a steady pace and just draining right into the little drain in the basement. And doesn't take much maintenance, and it certainly makes a world of difference, that's for sure. About $200 you have to pay for that, but not bad.
Oh, if you had to go clean up mold damage, it would cost you a lot more than that.
Right.
Keep water away from the foundation. Make sure the ground slopes downward away from your home. Water pooling around the foundation of your house is a sure recipe for mold.
All right. Very good, Steve. And so these come really, they originate from the Environmental Protection Agency.
Oh, and if it's occurred to me, if I can sort of throw one more thing in, you know, we're talking about the humidifier, the dehumidifiers. We recently got a new one because ours was probably older and far less energy efficient. They have gotten a lot better, a lot quieter, and much more energy efficient. So if you've got an old one, you know, they work fine and they'll last a long time, but it might be worth your while to get a new one, especially even if you'll the energy that you'll save, energy costs.
Yeah, and they're really not that expensive either. Okay, Steve, well, thanks very much for your contribution this hour. And want to thank our guests. Want to thank you for listening to the program. Remember, we take your show ideas, your comments, your questions. Go to the contact page at either of our websites, homeimprovementusa.com or homeimprovementusa.fm. You can also find the show at crlradio.com. Just click the Home Improvement USA button. You'll be taken to the show. And at tunein.com. A lot of good information up there. For Steve Leventhal, I'm Dave Rush, saying thank you for listening to this hour of the show.
Did you know that the average yearly repair bill for a car 5 years or older is more than $1,200? Having repair coverage for your car just makes sense. But the trick is not to overpay for it. With Toco Warranty, you can get a highly rated vehicle protection plan usually for less than a tank of gas per month. And now, we're offering a zero down payment program. To get a great car vehicle protection plan at a super low price, call Toco Warranty at 1-800-987-3157. That's 1-800-987-3157. Terms and conditions apply.